Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 will be in verses 8 through 13. 8 through 13. Keith, thank you so much for leading us in worship and praise of our Savior Jesus Christ this morning, bringing in the Christmas spirit, remembering the reason for the season, Jesus Christ. And yeah, we're starting before Thanksgiving, and you know what? That is okay. Praise the Lord that we are celebrating Jesus, Him coming, be born as a babe, to bring light to the world, to bring hope to the world, to be our Savior. Over the last several weeks, in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul has been encouraging young Timothy to do several hard and challenging things. He's instructed him to fan into flame the gift of God, to use it, to put it to action. He told him not to be ashamed of the gospel and to share in the suffering by the power of God. He spoke on following the pattern of sound words and guarding the good deposit. And last week, Timothy is to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's to entrust faithful men to go and teach other faithful men. He is to share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus by being single-minded as a soldier, having the integrity and discipline of an athlete, and working hard and diligent as a farmer. Church, this all sounds like hard and difficult and challenging work, all for following a man named Jesus. And Paul knows this. He's experienced this. He's lived this out. He's lived out the challenge of being a devoted Jesus follower. He is currently in prison for following Jesus. And Paul knows that in order to keep following Jesus, to do all the things that were noted above in chapter 1, in the beginning of chapter 2, he must endure. He must keep going. And that, church, is the main focus of our passage today. Paul is encouraging us to endure in the faith, to live unashamed means that we endure. To suffer for the gospel means that we endure. To hold to sound doctrine is to endure. To guard the gospel is to endure. To live with undivided devotion to Jesus is to endure in the faith. And so Paul encourages Timothy to endure. And in this encouragement to Timothy, we too are encouraged to endure. And so beginning in verse 8, Paul says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound." Praise the Lord. "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. If we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you this morning, Lord, and as we just read your word, Lord, God, I just pray that you will just speak through us through your word this morning, Lord, that you will teach us and help us to be good soldiers, enduring for the faith this morning, Lord, enduring for the faith in all of our life, in every part of it, in every aspect of it, Lord. This morning, God, I just pray that you will just open our eyes to be able to see your word, open our ears to be able to hear your word, open our minds to know it, and open our hearts to receive it, Lord, to be convicted by it, and then in return, live it out. God, this morning I pray that you will help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity, and passion. And God, I pray that you give us all boldness to endure in the faith. And God, this morning, I pray if there's one here who has never believed in you as Savior and Lord, God, I just pray that today is the day that you convict them and you draw them to yourself and they will trust in you as Savior of their lives. They will give their lives to you, Lord, and live for you, enduring in the faith for you, Lord. God, we just pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. From our passage today, we're going to see three reasons to endure in the faith. Three reasons to endure in the faith. The first reason that we see here in our passage is that we see this. We endure by remembering Jesus Christ. We endure by remembering Jesus Christ. Our whole purpose for living is to glorify God. Our whole purpose as humans is to bring glory to God. How do we do that? Believing in Jesus Christ. Being restored to a right relationship with God and living for His purpose and His glory. We absolutely cannot live to glorify God without Jesus Christ. He is the means to glorify Him. He's necessary, He's needed, and we cannot forget Him. We cannot leave Him out. We cannot abandon our first love as the Ephesian church did, as noted in Revelation chapter 2. We must remember Jesus Christ. We must remember that this Jesus is the one who was risen from the dead, as our passage teaches us. We must remember that He is the God-man. He has done what no other human in history has done. As a matter of fact, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that our faith is vain. The very thing we are doing right now, the very preaching that's happening of Jesus being resurrected and Jesus being our Savior would be in vain. It would be worthless. It would be pointless. It would be nothing but wasted time. But church, Jesus is the resurrected one. He is the one who died a death that He didn't deserve. Instead of staying dead, you know what He did? He was risen. He was raised. He lived. The reason we can sing the song, the hymn of heaven, the reason we can sing the song of that is because Christ has risen. You see, church, when you remember that you serve a King who has been risen from the dead, you remember the power that He has. You remember the grandeur. You remember the glory. You remember how He overcame death, how He overcame sin. And you say in your mind, that's my King. I'm going to live for Him. That's my Savior. I'm going to endure. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep running the race. We endure because Christ has been raised. He's no longer in the tomb, but alive, interceding for us on our behalf. Therefore, we endure. We keep going. But not only is Jesus risen from the dead, our passage also teaches that He is the offspring of David. Now this is easy to miss. This is easy just to kind of glimpse over and just move on. But the emphasis here is that Jesus is the promised one. Paul is reminding Timothy that this Jesus Christ, the one that's been risen from the dead, the one that you are preaching of, the one that you are sharing of, He is the one who is the promised one. We see this in the Old Testament, New Testament. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 through 13, God establishes a covenant with David and promises that an offspring will come and that God Himself will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. This is the Messiah, Jesus. We are told in Isaiah 11, 1. You might go into Isaiah 11, 1 for me. We're told in Isaiah 11, 1, there will be a shoot from the stump of Jesse, David's father, a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. That branch, that root is Jesus. In Jeremiah 23, 5, God says, I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king. And then we see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And just for good measure, to make sure we've settled it all, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, Jesus Himself says this, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. And then Jesus says, I am the root. I am the descendant of David, the bright morning star. All of these verses teach us that the Christ, the Messiah, is the offspring of David. All of these verses teach us that Jesus is the promised one. From Genesis 3:15 onward, the people of God are looking for and longing for the promised one, the Messiah, and now He has come. Hope is here. Paul is reminding young Timothy that Jesus is the promised one, that Jesus is the Messiah. And to remember that, to remember that the promised one has come, that the Christ has come, to remember that He has lived, He's died a cruel, sacrificial death on a cross, was buried, and was risen from the dead. Church, we endure in the faith by remembering that Jesus Christ is the promised one. When we remember that Jesus is the promised one, when we hear the false teachings, when we hear people talk bad about us, when it becomes challenging and hard and painful to continue to believe, you know what we do? We endure. We remember that Jesus was the promised one. When the suffering feels unbearable, when the discipline and the hard work becomes heavy, we endure. We keep going by remembering Jesus Christ, the one promised from so long ago. But that isn't all. This risen Jesus Christ, this promised one, He's also the one in whom we preach of. He's the one in whom we speak of. He's the one that we evangelize. This is the one we tell of. This is the one we have conversations about. Paul was saying, Brother Timothy, I preach Jesus Christ in my gospel. I preach Him because I believe that He is worthy. I believe it is He who said He was. Or I believe He is who He said He was. Let me say it that way. Remember, correct myself there. I believe He's the one risen from the dead. I believe He's the promised one. Therefore, I preach Him. I believe Him. So you continue believing. So you continue to endure. Remember Jesus, Timothy, Paul says. Church, we must remember Jesus. And here comes the last reason why we remember Jesus. He cannot be bound. He cannot be bound. Paul is suffering in prison. He's bound with chains as a criminal. He's tied down. He can't go anywhere. He has traveled all over preaching the gospel of Jesus, and this very gospel has now landed him bound with chains in prison. And Paul says, but the Word of God is not bound. Praise the Lord, right? Amen. This Word is not bound. Church, this gospel that we preach, it cannot be stopped. It cannot be bound. They may bind us with chains. They may shut our mouths. They may stop the word of that they can do. They can do whatever they want to stop us, but they can't stop the word of God from going forth. They've tried it for the last 2,000 years. The world has tried to suppress the truth of Jesus. They've tried to suppress the gospel. But you know what? For 2,000 years, the word of God has what? Kept on going. And if the word of God isn't bound, if the word of God can't be stopped, then we should endure. We should keep going ourselves. The gospel just continues to go forward, continues to move onward. And even in the future, when we have passed and been long gone, you know what? The gospel is going to continue to go. It's going to continue to spread. People are still going to hear it. People are still going to believe it. It's going to keep going. It cannot be stopped. Because God is far greater than any regime or than any nation. He's far greater than any earthly king that tries to suppress it down. He's far greater than any person that's trying to stop the gospel. And we endure in the faith by remembering that Jesus Christ and His gospel will not be bound. Church, may we do well in remembering Jesus Christ. It would be extremely difficult for us to live unashamed. It would be extremely difficult for us to suffer with Him, to give undivided devotion to Him if we don't remember Him. Jesus must always be in our minds, must always be in our thoughts, must always be something about ourselves. We must always be thinking of Him. And when we do this, we not only think of ourselves, but we think of how others need to hear of Jesus. And so this moves us to our second reason. We endure for the sake of the elect. We endure for the sake of the elect. Listen to what Paul says in verse 10. Therefore, I endure everything. I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul is saying here that there are people out there who are of the elect but have yet to obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. There are people out there who have been elected and purposed by God for salvation, but they have not yet obtained the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. They have not yet responded to the gospel call and believed in Jesus as Savior and Lord and repented of their sins. And Paul was willing to endure in the faith, to endure the suffering, to live unashamed, to suffer for the gospel, also that they may hear the gospel of Jesus, believe and repent and suffer and live for Him. Paul is saying, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to endure it all, also that they may obtain salvation that's in Christ Jesus. We endure because of that. Church, the same is true for today. There are people all around us, family, friends, co-workers that are part of the elect, but they have not yet clearly heard the gospel of Jesus in such a way that it's convicted them of their sin and unbelief. And thus they haven't been saved yet, but there will come a day. There will come a day when someone shares the gospel with them and they will hear it clearly. They will respond with belief and give their life to Jesus. And it just so happens that God uses Christians. That God uses people that are of the elect that's already believed to share the gospel to others. God just so happens to use us as a means to teach of Jesus. Reminded of Romans 10, 14 and 15. Right before this, in verse 12, verses 11, 12, 13, Paul talks about all who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. any person that believes in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, they will be saved. And then he goes on in verse 14 and says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Right? How can someone believe if they haven't believed? How will they call on Him? Right? How are they to believe in Him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And he goes on in verse 15. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Church, people cannot believe in Jesus unless they hear the gospel. You hear that? People cannot believe in Jesus unless they hear the gospel, unless someone has spoken it to them, unless someone has shared it with them, unless someone has evangelized it to them. People cannot believe in something they've never heard. They cannot believe in something they don't know anything about. As a matter of fact, none of us here who do believe in Jesus would have ever believed in Jesus if we didn't first, what? Hear the gospel of Jesus. As people who are of the elect, God has chosen us as a means to communicate the gospel. We have all been sent to preach Christ, to evangelize Christ. I've read the Great Commission twice in the last two sermons, and it's so applicable to even today. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them. We preach Christ, God does the saving. We share the gospel, God does the convicting. We speak of Jesus, God opens ears to hear. Church, there are people out there who have yet to hear the gospel. And we are to endure everything, so that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. We are to endure the pushback. We are to endure the shaming, the mocking, the questioning. We are to endure the suffering, the pain. We are to endure the possibility of losing a job, losing a customer. We are to endure the challenges that come with proclaiming Jesus, all for the sake of the elect, as Paul says. All because you never know when one of those who's causing you suffering, who's causing you pain, might actually turn around and go, I believe today. I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Church, may we all endure for the sake of the elect, so that they may obtain the salvation that comes in Christ Jesus. And this moves us forward to reason number three. We endure because we have died to this life. We endure because we have died to this life. Paul then quotes a trustworthy saying. Most likely this saying would have been a hymn of sorts that the early church would have sung. They would have stated it multiple times over and over and over. This would have been a saying that was repeated by many people in faith. And Paul is saying, hey, this saying is trustworthy. This is a good word. You ought to listen to this, Paul says. This hymn is divided up in two sets of couplets. The first two sets are positive in nature, and the second two sets are negative in nature. And so we're going to look at the first set, the positive set, which goes on to say, if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. To be a Christian is to die with Christ. To be a Christian is to die with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 tells us the same exact thing. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We've died with Him. If we believed in Jesus, we've died with Him. Everything about ourselves has died with Him. To be a Christian is to die to this life, to die to sin. To be a Christian is to die to self. The idea is that we take up our cross, as Jesus teaches, right? and follow Him. We take up the cross, we die to ourselves, and we follow Jesus. And you know what? We should be doing this daily, dying to self, dying to sin, dying to this world. We are, when we do those things, we will be enduring in the faith. When we, by faith, have died to this life in Christ, only then will we live with Him. When we, by faith, continue to endure in the faith, we will live with Him. And church, there is going to come a day in which Jesus is going to return, and all the elect, all the people that believed in Jesus, will be resurrected from the grave and live for eternity with Christ. We will be with Him forever. As a matter of fact, we will reign with Him, as verse 12 says. It will be like the Garden of Eden before the fall of man, when Adam and Eve was ruling and reigning over creation. I'm not going to say it's exactly like that, but it's going to be something similar. We will all be many rulers in the new heaven and new earth. But if we don't have faith, if we don't keep the faith, if we don't endure in the faith, and we deny Jesus, He will deny us. So this moves us to the second set of couplets, the negative set. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. The first phrase is rather easy to understand. If we deny Jesus as Savior and Lord, He will clearly deny us back, right? So what's going to happen? Jesus says it specifically in Matthew 10:33. You got it, Tucker. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Simply put, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't deny who He is as Savior, if you deny who He is as Savior, you too will be denied before the Father. If you're here today and you've never believed in Jesus Christ, this is a scary thing. Because this simply means that unless you truly believe and place your faith in Jesus Christ alone, you will not be in heaven. You will not have life. You will go to hell. The saying goes on. The second couplet. We are faithless, He remains faithful, because He cannot deny Himself. This phrase has been interpreted and understood in many different ways. It's been, so many people tried to understand it this way, tried to understand it that way, and I can't say they're wrong, and I can't say they're right, if that makes sense. But I'm going to tell you what I believe this passage says. This phrase is to best be understood as. When it says that He cannot deny Himself, I believe it means that Jesus, that God, cannot go against who He is. Does that make sense? You can't go against who He is. You can't go against who He is. God has attributes about Himself. God has characteristics of Himself. And these attributes are exactly who He is. And He cannot go against Himself within these attributes. He cannot deny Himself. From the very beginning of the Old Testament to the very last few words of Revelation, the way in which someone is saved and is given life is simply by what? Faith. Faith. You see it? How were all the old people of old saved? We learned about that in Hebrews, right? They had faith. How are we saved in the New Testament? We have faith. By faith alone. If we are faithless, we will not be given life. And God's still going to remain faithful to who He is. I don't think faithless here is talking about being disobedient, being sinful, making mistakes. I think faithless here is talking about someone not having faith at all. And those that are faithless will face the justice and judgment and wrath of God. It would be unfaithful of God if the faithless simply just got a free pass to life with Him. He must remain faithful to Himself. He must remain faithful to who He is. He can't deny Himself. So this phrase here is not a positive phrase. It's a negative in the sense that God is faithful to execute His justice and judgment against those who are faithless and deny Him as Savior and Lord. In church, this was a hymn to the early church. This was something they sang aloud for each other to hear. This was something they were encouraged by. This was something they did to keep the faith and continue to endure in this life as they await eternal life with Jesus. May we do well in daily dying to ourselves, enduring in the faith and keeping the faith until the Lord takes us home. Because we know that He is going to be faithful to who He is. He's going to be faithful to taking His people home. He's going to be faithful to taking all who believe in Him as Savior and Lord home with Him. But He's also going to be faithful to Himself. And that those who deny and never believe in Jesus Christ will not enter into heaven. They will have life in hell. And this morning, if you have never believed in Jesus Christ and you are hearing this and you're wondering and you're saying, hey, Pastor, you're saying that because I don't have faith, because I don't believe in Jesus, that I'm going to hell? Yes. I don't say that. The Bible says it. And because the Bible says it, I say it. I can't get around it. I can't escape it. I wish there was a different way. But there's not. But there is a way. There is a way for you to be in heaven, to have life with Jesus. And it's all by simply believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, trusting in Him and repenting of your sins, living for Him, enduring in the faith, keeping the faith. And so this morning, if you've never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I just want to encourage you right now to stop denying Jesus, stop living without faith, and begin to place your faith in Jesus. Trust in Him as Savior and Lord. The Bible says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if you feel the Lord drawing you, calling you to Himself, take the moment and right now believe in Him. Repent of your sins, and you will be saved. If that's a decision that you would like to make today, I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you and to talk about what it means to continue following Jesus. And so after the service, or here in just a moment, just come to me and say, Lord, or just say, Pastor, I want to believe. I'm not your Lord, okay? I said that wrong, but say, Pastor, I'm making a decision to believe today. I'm making a decision to trust in You as Savior and trust in Jesus as Savior. Help me to walk this life of faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to You right now, Lord, and we're just so thankful for Your goodness. We're so thankful for Your mercy and so thankful for Your grace, God. God, we're so thankful for this passage and this encouragement, Lord, for us to continue to endure in the faith, for us to and keep the faith and just keep plugging along, keep going, keep believing, keep suffering, keep living unashamed for You, Lord. Keep teaching and guarding the gospel of Jesus, Lord. God, we just pray that You give us the help that we need. God, as we learned last week, it's all coming from the strength and grace in You, Lord. God, I just pray that You will give us the strength to continue to endure in the faith, to continue believing, to continue to live for You. God, we need Your help. We need Your help today. Help us to endure by remembering Jesus. Help us to endure for the sake of the elect. Help us to endure all for you. God, we pray all of this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.